أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وأصحابه ومن والاه رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته We'll start with Surah Maryam. And what's interesting, before we begin Surah Maryam, just wanted to point out something with regards to Surah Kahf that I mentioned briefly towards the end yesterday, but this is important as we go and talk about the two surahs, Surah Kahf and Surah Maryam. So Surah Kahf began with the Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioning the Quran. Alhamdulillahi alladhi anzala ala abdihi al-kitab. Al-kitab is the Quran, right? So the first ayah mentions that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has sent down the book on a slave. The last ayah, or the last two ayat, also talk about the idea of the Quran. That قُلْ لَوْ كَانَ الْبَحْرُ مِدَادًا لِكَلِمَاتِ رَبِّي. Imagine if the seas were to be turned into a, or the oceans and the seas were turned into ink, that would be used to write the words of my master. So talking about the words of Allah, that is the Quran as well. So the Surah Al-Kahf began and ended with the Quran, discussing the Quran, discussing the idea of revelation, actually, to be more precise. The messenger and Quran, and in the end, the Quran and the messenger. That whole idea, that is basically what is very important. And this is the reason for that is Surah Kahf discusses different trials and tests a person would face over the course of their lives. Money, luxury, prosperity, having power, having knowledge and status, having the trial of trying to follow doing the right thing, following the religion, while everybody else around us is not following it. Those are all difficulties that people face. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, of course, he's implying by mentioning the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the Quran in the beginning, and the Quran and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam at the end, that for us to be able to navigate the trials of this life, we need the connection with revelation, which is the Quran and the Sunnah. And without it, navigating the trials of life will be extremely difficult. Now, the connection between Surah Kahf and Surah Maryam is very nice and very intricate. We'll discuss that. We'll pull up the surah here. Okay, so Surah Maryam begins with the five letters Kaf, Ha, Ya, Ain, Sad. This is the only surah that has five letters, the huruf muqatta'at, that begin it. Every other surah has either three or four or two or one, but this is the only surah really that has five. Allah knows best why He chose five for it. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best what they really mean, but this is an observation that we can make. Now, after this, the five huruf muqatta'at, Allah says, ذِكْرُ رَحْمَةِ رَبِّكَ عَبْدَهُ زَكَرِيَّا. Translation of it is, this is a mention of the mercy of your Lord to His servant Zachariah in the Bible. What is this? This is a mention of the mercy of your master to His slave Zachariah. This is the Quran, right? This is where all this is mentioned. And Zachariah alayhi salam was a prophet of Allah. So Surah Al-Kahf ended on the note of Quran and prophethood, following a messenger. And Surah Maryam also picks up on that very same note, that there is the Quran, it is mercy, and also it mentions prophethood historically. It ends on the same note, begins on the same note, and this is something that we've seen quite a bit of, alhamdulillah, in our short study of the Quran. And this is something to appreciate, the wondrous nature of Quran, the coherence in it, despite the fact that these surahs were revealed at different times, in different contexts. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala put it together, they are very cohesive and they all flow very beautifully together. Now, also is another idea is abdahu, right? The word abdahu. Abdahu means His slave. The idea of being slaves of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Surah Kahf ended In fact, Surah Kahf began with mentioning that the Messenger ﷺ is the slave of Allah. Surah Isra before that also began by saying the Messenger ﷺ is the slave of Allah. Subhanalladhi asra bi abdihi. Right? Surah Kahf, Alhamdulillah, alladhi anzala ala abdihi. And Surah Al-Kahf also ended by the Prophet ﷺ being told to say, innama ana basharu mithlukum. I am just a human being like the rest of you. The only difference between me and you would be yuha ilayya, that I received revelation, which tells us that when he says I am just a human being like you, he's saying I am also a slave of Allah like you all are the slaves of Allah as well. So Surah Kahf ends on that note, and subhanallah, Surah Al-Maryam begins on that same note as well. Really beautiful coherence and connections between the two surahs. Now proceeding with our study of Surah Maryam. Surah Maryam is the 19th surah of Quran. It is a surah that was revealed in Makkah as well. And there is a very deep connection between these three surahs that are coming. Surah Maryam number 19, Surah Taha number 20, and Surah Anbiya 21. These three surahs have a very deep connection. Not only do they, particularly Surah Maryam and Surah Taha, have a very similar sound. If you listen to it, they sound very similar. They all end with the ah sound. ذِكْرُ رَحْمَةِ رَبِّكَ عَبْدَهُ زَكَرِيَّا إِذْ نَادَ رَبَّهُ نِدَاءً خَفِيَّا. Right? The ending of the ayat end with a big alif sound, ah sound. Likewise in Surah Taha, Taha, مَا أَنزَلْنَا عَلَيْكَ الْقُرْآنَ لِتَشْقَى إِلَّا تَذْكِرَةً لِمَنْ يَخْشَى. Like that. You see, so the sound is very similar. And also the themes that was discussed are also very similar between Surah Maryam, Surah Taha, and also Surah Anbiya. Surah Maryam discusses stories of prophets, some prophets, and particularly stories of prophets that had, or families, prophets in the context of family life. Surah Taha discusses almost entirely the story of one prophet, and that is Musa alayhi salam. Isolates Musa alayhi salam. And then Surah Anbiya goes back and discusses the stories of all the other prophets in the context of them seeking Allah's help, making dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the similarity between them is that they're all discussing, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is highlighting something specific through stories of prophets in these three surahs. But in Surah Maryam, he talks about a bunch of prophets, all of them within family context. Surah Taha, he isolates only Musa alayhi salam to shine a light particularly in Musa alayhi salam, because Musa alayhi salam was the most similar one to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam in his mission. Not, you know, appearance or whatnot, but in his mission. His mission was very similar to the mission of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And then he goes back in Surah Anbiya and discusses all of them again, how all of them went through good times and bad times, and how all of them made dua. So this is something that we find similar about these three surahs. Let's take a look at these surahs, inshallah ta'ala. Again, the big idea being religion and family. People of families that are based on religion, and the challenges that religious families face. That is one of the discussion points in Surah Taha. So I'll make this like this. Sorry, just give me a second here. Okay. One second. You see, there's like a little, you know, this Quran stand. Looking for something that doesn't shake as much. Online, there was lots of shaking, and people were not happy about that. So let's just alter that. Jazakallahu khairan. Okay, this. Huh?
We'll see how that works.
Yes, inshallah. Let's see. Oops. Okay. You know what? I have a tripod I'll bring in next time, because these are all really interesting solutions. Sorry, just trying to get this here. Okay, we can make do inshallah with this for now. This is a lot more stable. You see, I can shake the table and I can do random things and it still won't affect, alhamdulillah, that severely. Wait, come back. Okay. I'm just going to move to the side a little bit here. And turn this. People online, how is this? Much better? Hopefully, inshallah. You see the sunlight beaming at me from behind, but that's okay. Alright, bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Let's go back to our discussion of Surah Taha. Surah Maryam. Okay. Kaf ha ya ain sad. ذِكْرُ رَحْمَةِ رَبِّكَ عَبْدَهُ زَكَرِيَّا. This is a mention of the mercy of your Lord to his servant Zakariya alayhi salam. Now, Zakariya alayhi salam, as we know, did not have a son. Zakariya alayhi salam was a prophet of Allah. He was from Bani Israel. He was the chief priest of Bani Israel, the most respected person in Bani Israel. And he was the one, there was what's called the Temple of David. He was the imam, the rabbi of the Temple of David. I'm using those modern words because he was ethnically from Bani Israel, right? But you can say he's the imam of that masjid. He was the one who was the main in charge. Now he would see corruption in the people of Bani Israel. He's seeing that these people are not fit to take on the role of being leaders of this community. There's lots of corruption in them. So he is worried about the da'wah. So he makes a very beautiful du'a. He says, إِذْ نَادَى رَبَّهُ نِدَاءً خَفِيَّا. When he called to his Lord a private du'a. This is the essence of du'a, by the way. That it is meant to be a private matter. Du'a publicly is good. There's nothing wrong with it. The Prophet ﷺ would make it. But the essence of it is it's done in private. Because it is a private conversation between the person and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Nida'an khafiyya. Qala rabbi inni wahana al'azmu minni. He said, Master, inni wahana al'azmu minni. My bones have become weak. Wahana al'azmu minni. My bones are weak. Washta'ala ra'su shayba. Says, my head has filled with white. Meaning, entirety of my hair has turned grey. وَلَمْ أَكُنْ بِدُعَائِكَ رَبِّ شَقِيًّا. And I am still, despite a lifetime of making dua, I still haven't given up. I'm still not unhappy. So beautiful. These are incredible words. He's saying, I have basically made dua my entire life for a son. To the point where now my hair are grey and my bones are weak, but I'm still not unhappy. Ya Allah, I'm not complaining about anything. Really beautiful. This is the dua of a believer. That we can complain to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala about our situation, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I'm in difficult times. But we don't say, Allah, I'm ungrateful. Or Allah, how come this is not done for me? We don't interrogate Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. How come my dua has not been answered? We don't interrogate Allah. We actually can complain to Him. And we tell Him that this is something that we're going through. Like we're speaking to Him. But at the same time, no interrogation. Then he says, وَإِنِّي خِفْتُ الْمَوَالِيَ مِنْ وَرَائِي. And indeed, there's no doubt that I fear الْمَوَالِيَ مِنْ وَرَائِي, the people after me, my successors. I fear that they won't be able to carry the mantle of prophethood. وَكَانَتِ امْرَأَتِي عَاقِرًا. And my wife is barren. فَهَبْ لِي مِنْ لَدُنْكَ وَلِيًّا. So give me the gift of a wali. Interestingly, he didn't say, فَهَبْ لِي مِنْ لَدُنْكَ وَلَدًا. Which would be, he was asking for a boy, right? Or a child. But he says, give me a wali. Now, difference between a wali, what a wali is somebody who is very close to you. Like the Prophet ﷺ said in the hadith, سَمِّ اللَّهِ وَقُلْ مِمَّا يَلِيكَ. Mention the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and then eat from what's close to you. When he's describing, he's teaching the manners of eating. He says, eat from what's close to you. So wala yali means to be something that's close, like at hand, approachable. So habli min ladunka waliya, give me a child who will be close to me, approachable to me. I can mentor him. He will be like a protege. He'll be not just a son, he will be a protege. And I will tutor him to become the leader of Bani Israel after me. So, wali is somebody who is close. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes himself as a wali of the believers. Allahu waliyu alladhina amanu. Allah is supposed to be close to the believers. He's approachable to the believers. Like the food is approachable when we're eating it on the plate. Like that same way Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is supposed to be approachable to us if we were to approach him. He's supposed to be, he's there for us as long as we're calling him and trusting him and making dua to him. Okay. He says, وَإِنِّي خِفْتُ الْمَوَالِيَ مِنْ وَرَائِي وَكَانَتِ امْرَأَتِي عَاقِرًا فَهَبْ لِي مِنْ لَدُنْكَ وَلِيًّا يَرِثُنِي وَيَرِثُ مِنْ آلِ يَعْقُوبَ. Master, he will inherit me and inherit from Ali Yaqub, the family of Yaqub. I'm asking for this son, Ya Allah, so this child can become the bearer of the da'wah after me. وَجْعَلْهُ رَبِّي رَضِيًّا, and make him, Master, pleasing. رَضِيًّا is basically two things. It's somebody who is رَاضٍ, رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُمْ وَرَضُوا عَنْهُ. That phrase that Allah describes the Sahaba with, that Allah is pleased with them and they are pleased with Allah. Allah is happy with what they have done, or what they are doing and what they are going to do, and they are happy with what Allah has done to them and what Allah will do to them in the future. That is radhi, subhanAllah. Very incredible. This is the highest level of contentment that a person can reach. This is the highest level of spirituality a person can aspire to be. Radhi. Happy with whatever Allah has done in the past, happy with whatever Allah will do to us in the future. And also Allah is happy with us, our past and our future. That's an incredible place to be. Now, يَيْثُنِي وَيَيْثُ مِنْ أَعْلِ يَعْقُوبُ وَجَعَلْهُ رَبِّ رَضِيَّ. Ya Allah, make him like that. يَا زَكَرِيَّ إِنَّا نُبَشِّرُكَ بِغُلَامٍ اسْمُهُ يَحْيَى. I'm going to take the card for you. إِنَّا نُبَشِّرُكَ بِغُلَامٍ اسْمُهُ يَحْيَى لَمْ نَجْعَلْ لَهُ مِنْ قَبْلُ سَمِيَّ. Ya Zakariya, we're giving you the good news, we're congratulating you of the news of a boy. His name is Yahya. Yahya comes from, it could either be a name, it could also be somebody who is, you know, alive, his remembrance is alive. It shares, Allahu Alam, a root from Hay. But also, it could also mean that Allahu Alam, he is just somebody who is, that's just a name, Yahya. And it's perhaps not even an Arab name. يَرِثُنِي وَيَرِثُ مِنْ آلِ يَعْقُوبَ وَجَعَلْهُ رَبِّ إِنَّا نُبَشِّرُكَ بِغُلَامٍ اسْمُهُ يَحْيَى لَمْ نَجْعَلْ لَهُ مِنْ قَبْلُ سَمِيَّ. Somebody we have never named with this name before is Yahya. What could also mean is that there's nobody else who has shared these characteristics. So nobody else has been through what Yahya has, that birth is miraculous. That birth is miraculous. He's an old man. The wife is old. They're barren. They don't have any hope of any children. And yet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives them a child like Yahya alayhi salam. That means that لَمْ نَجْعَلْ لَهُ مِنْ قَبْرُ سَمِيَّ. This, nothing like this has ever happened before. Also could mean no one has ever been named Yahya before. Both meanings Allahu alam are there. قَالَ رَبِّ أَنَّ يَكُونُ لِي غُلَامٌ. He said, Master, how can I have a son? How can I have a boy? وَكَانَتْ امْرَأَتِي عَاقِرًا وَقَدْ بَلَغْتُ مِنَ الْكِبَرِ عَتِيَّ. And my wife is barren and I'm extremely old. قَالَ كَذَلِكَ قَالَ رَبُّكِ. He says, because this is how your Lord has said it. هُوَ عَلَيَّ هَيَّنْ. He said, this is easy for me. وَقَدْ خَلَقْتُكَ مِنْ قَبْلُ وَلَمْ تَكُ شَيْئًا. And I created you beforehand and you weren't anything. If Allah could create us from nothingness, then resurrecting us is easy. Likewise, he's saying that this boy will be created like you were created out of nothingness. And this is easy for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He set the rule that people don't have children generally after a certain age. But that doesn't mean that he can't do it if he wants to change the rule. He can't make exceptions to that rule himself, subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he does that for Yahya or Zakaria alayhi salam. And Zakaria alayhi salam, when he says this, how can I have a son? He's not questioning Allah's decree. He's not saying, how is it possible that I have a son? He's not saying that. He's shocked. Because when something is told to you that you weren't expecting, your reaction is generally of shock. Right? That's generally what the reaction is. We saw Ibrahim alayhi salam expressing shock as well when he was told that you're going to have a son. So this is a human thing, to be shocked at something that's, you know, out of the ordinary. And this is definitely out of the ordinary. So he's expressing shock, not expressing doubt. He says, قَالَ رَبِّ جَعَلْنِي آيَةً. He says, Ya Allah, my master, make for me a sign. قَالَ آيَتُكَ أَلَّا تُكَلِّمَ النَّاسِ ثَلَاثَ لَيَالٍ سَوِيَّ. You won't speak to the people for 3 nights. That's your sign. Keep this to yourself for 3 nights. That's a sign. The scholars say, one of the things we can learn from this is when we receive some good news that's shockingly good, something we weren't expecting, instead of posting about it on Facebook right away and say, yeah, this is what happened. Right? Maybe take a few days, 3 days, let it sink in, make sure that's confirmed, and you're comfortable, you know, revealing it to people, and then reveal it. Right? The idea of secrecy and privacy is a very important idea in Islam. The Prophet ﷺ said that istainu ala in jahi hawaijikum bil kitman. Says that help yourself in being successful, or whatever things that you want, help the success of those things by keeping it private, bil kitman. Doesn't mean that, of course, you don't tell anybody anything, that a person gets married and no one knows about it. That's not the idea. The idea is, everything should not be like on Facebook right away, or Twitter right away. You just take some time, take a couple of days, things settle down, everything is good, then you inform people in the appropriate manner. This is one of the things that the scholars comment on when they mention this, and they comment on this ayah. فَخَرَجَ عَلَىٰ قَوْمِهِ مِنَ الْمِحْرَابِ فَأَوْحَىٰ إِلَيْهِمْ أَن سَبِّحُوا بُكْرَةً وَعَشِيَّ. But despite the fact that he's not speaking, Zakariya alayhi salam is still telling people to remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. أَوْحَىٰ إِلَيْهِمْ. He is signaling to them. أَوْحَىٰ comes from wahi. Wahi we translate it as, what is generally how we translate wahi as? Revelation, right? And أَوْحَىٰ has the same root, to signal, to hand gesture, to convey a message, secretively. So this is something that the original meaning of wahi is. The message has been conveyed secretively. Wahi. أَوْحَىٰ إِلَيْهِمْ أَن سَبِّحُوا بُكْرَةً وَعَشِيَّ. يَا يَحْيَا خُذِ الْكِتَابَ بِقُوَّةٍ. Now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala skips the part where Yahya alayhi salam is born. All those details are, you know, fast forwarded. You see this in, it will make an analogy to movies, because that's a media that we are aware of and we're familiar with. This happens in movies that, you know, the story has been told and then years skip and then the story is fast forwarded. Those details are that important. You want to go get to the, you know, crux of the matter, like they say, cut to the chase kind of thing, right? This is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala cutting to the chase. Yeah, Yahya, okay, she's pregnant, he's born, he's grown up a little bit, and then Allah starts speaking to Yahya alayhi salam because he's also a messenger. Ya Yahya, خُذِ الْكِتَابَ بِقُوَّةٍ. Take the book with strength, with determination. وَآتَيْنَاهُ الْحُكْمَ صَبِيًّا. And even when he was a young boy, we gave him hukum. Hukum is the ability to make a judgment. That doesn't mean that he was the judge, but he had the ability to make the right call, which is rare. There's a rare trait for anybody. It is almost non-existent for a young boy, for a young child, to be able to make the right call, you know, frequently. Because they're still learning, they're still developing. This was something special about Yahya alayhi salam, that he had hukum, which means he had the ability to do the right thing, say the right thing. If something was going on, he could determine who was right and who was wrong very easily. That was Yahya alayhi salam. Also on top of that, وَحَنَانًا مِنْ لَدُنَّا. And he was somebody who had a lot of affection for his parents. Wazakatan and pure, wakana taqiyya, and he had lots of piety. All these things are told to us because these are qualities and characteristics that are very noble, and all of us should aspire for these characteristics. Having hanan, being affectionate to our parents, to our fellow folk, The Prophet ﷺ said that, you know, believers are يَأْلَفُونَ وَيُؤْلَفُونَ. They're very easily approachable. They mix nicely. They have a good time with people. People have a good time with them. This idea of حَنَانًا مِنْ لَدُنَّا وَزَكَاتًا, and pure. Pure of intention. There's no grudges. There's no malice. Pure of, you know, chastity. This is an open statement that Allah makes. These are virtuous qualities. These are noble things that all of us should aspire to achieve. And that's why Allah mentions them about Zakariya alayhi salam. About Yahya alayhi salam. وَبَرَّمْ بِوَالِدَيْهِ وَلَمْ يَكُنْ جَبَّارًا عَصِيًّا. And he was dutiful to his parents. He was dutiful to his parents. وَلَمْ يَكُنْ جَبَّارًا عَصِيًّا. And he was not a tyrant. This is interesting because... I'm just going to turn the screen share on for the people. It's interesting because for a young boy who has, you know, authority, who's very smart, very intelligent, and he has really old parents, very easy for that young child, that young boy, to assert his authority on the parents. But Yahya alayhi salam is teaching us that no, despite the fact that he had all the traits, all the nobility that a person could hope for, he still was not, he didn't impose his opinion upon his parents or anybody. وَلَمْ يَكُنْ جَبَّارًا عَصِيًّا. He was not a tyrant. And this happens sometimes with children who grow up and they've achieved more than the parents. They've learned more than the parents. They have more accomplishments and accolades, that they kind of become tyrannical in their approach when it comes to the parents. No, I know what's best, you just follow me, be quiet, no need for your input, thank you very much. Right? That idea is very, you know, it's something that Yahya alayhi salam was not. He wasn't like that. Even though he had all the reason to be, or all the situation was there for him to be like that, but he didn't. He wasn't. وَسَلَامٌ عَلَيْهِ يَوْمَ وُلِدَ وَيَوْمَ يَمُوتُ وَيَوْمَ يُبْعَثُ حَيَّ. And peace be upon him the day he was born, and the day he'll be brought back to life. The day he would die, and the day he would be brought back to life. Now, why is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioning Yahya and Zakariya? Yahya and Zakariya is a very beautiful family. Remember, the theme of the big idea of the surah is families in the Qur'an. Particularly, families and faith. Faith-based families. So, what's interesting is this is an idea, this is an example of a great faith-based family, where the father is a righteous man, the son is a righteous man, and despite the son having lots of achievements and accolades and lots of virtue, he still treats his father, the old father, with extreme respect, extreme dignity and honor, and affection and love even. So this is an example of a great, functional, beautiful family that Allah presents. Now he goes on and presents an example of another family that is very different. You won't find any family like this ever in the history of humanity. Ever. Because there's no father. And the son was born without a father. And that is, of course, Isa alayhi salam. وَذْكُرْ فِي الْكِتَابِ مَرْيَمْ إِذْ انْتَبَذَتْ مِنْ أَهْلِهَا مَكَانًا شَرْقِيًّا. Mention the story of Maryam alayhi salam when she withdrew from her family to a place towards the east. Maryam alayhi salam's story and Isa alayhi salam's story is great for many reasons. But one of the things that's kind of interesting also is Maryam alayhi salam was a single mother. She was a single mother. Of course, many single mothers go through difficult situations, and that's why they're single mothers. Maryam alayhi salam didn't choose. She was just given a child miraculously. But in her story, there's lots of lessons for single mothers. How to raise kids, how to handle kids, and also the children of single mothers, how to deal with your parents, how to deal with your mother in particular. It's a really beautiful story for that purpose as well. Now, Allah says, فَاتَّخَذَتْ مِن دُونِهِمْ حِجَابًا فَأَرْسَلْنَا إِلَيْهَا رُوحَنَا فَتَمَثَّلَ لَهَا بَشَرًا سَوِيًّا. So, she was worshipping Allah, and in isolation, this is what she would do. فَأَرْسَلْنَا إِلَيْهَا رُوحَنَا. Then we sent to him our ruh. The word ruh in the Quran is used for a few things. It is used for the actual soul, the ruh. It is used for of Jibreel, for Jibreel alayhi salam, أَيَّدْنَاهُ بِرُوحِ الْقُدُسِ, the sacred ruh. It is also used for the Quran itself. وَكَذَلِكَ أَرْسَلْنَا إِلَيْكَ رُوحًا مِنْ أَمْرِنَا, because it's the soul. Revelation is what, you know, feeds our soul. Jibreel alayhi salam brings revelation. He represents that. And our ruh is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now the ruh is a really interesting thing. The soul is very interesting. Anybody who denies that there is no God, then they have to say there is no soul. Because who's giving you the soul then? We can't measure the soul like you can measure, we're molecules and we're this and that. You can't measure the soul in molecules. You don't know what the soul really is in its reality. Okay, so there's no soul, assume there's no God, there's no soul, then what are you left with? Then you're left with, you're just like a pin, like a pinball in a pinball machine that's being, you know, just reacting on forces. You see a pinball, as it's going through a pinball machine, hits the ball, the little thing here, then bounces over there, and then bounces over there. All we're just, as human beings, without a soul, is just somebody who reacts to what's around us. You know, the Newton's first law of motion is that every action has an equal and opposite reaction. That's all we are then. We're just reacting to what's around us. So, if you remove the soul, then the human being is nothing bigger than a pinball in a giant pinball machine. Which means that if you're like a pinball, the pinball has no choice. That means that human beings have no choice. No free will. Which is obviously not true. All of us have free will. All of us have the ability to choose and make decisions. So subhanAllah, anybody who says there's no God, this is the way to approach them. Okay, you say there's no God, that means there's no soul. There's no ruh. There's no ruh, that means you have no choice. You're just like a pinball. You're just reacting to everything that's around you. You didn't choose who your parents were. You didn't choose how you were born. The pinball didn't choose how you got shot in. And you didn't choose you just react to whatever's around you. That's life, then that's all your life. That means you have no choice. So because we have choice, that necessitates that we have a soul. And because we have a soul, that necessitates that there is somebody who sends that soul, and that is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is a really powerful thing that the Quran mentions about the soul, the ruh, again and again and again. Because the soul is very important. It is the soul, it's soul food. It's the crux of the matter. Right? So it's something that is very, very critical for us to understand. Now, قَالَتْ إِنِّي أَعُوذُ بِالرَّحْمَنِ مِنْكَ إِن كُنْتَ تَقِيًّا. She said, I ask for the protection of Ar-Rahman. مِنْكَ, from you, إِن كُنْتَ تَقِيًّا, if you are a person of piety, you know, fear Allah, don't come near me, right? Don't harm me. And this is really interesting. If you think about how amazing Maryam alayhi salam was and how corrupt a lot of girls are today, not criticizing anybody in particular, but generally saying that, and even commenting on our own situation, not just girls, but boys and girls even. An angel is an extremely beautiful looking person. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sends an angel, he looks extremely beautiful. Like the best looking guy ever. Subhanallah. Jibreel alayhi salam would come as a, sometimes he would come as a man, and he would resemble one of the Sahaba who was the best looking Sahabi in town. His name was I forgot his name. His kunya, his tribe was Al-Kalbi, right? He was really, really very handsome man. Now, generally, when we're faced with a situation that we're in a isolated situation with somebody who's really good looking, and they're coming to us, we're like, how are you doing? Right? The people flirt with people even in the drive-thrus, like ajeeb stuff. You're getting coffee and the guy is hitting on the girl who's serving him coffee. Right? Or the girl is hitting on the guy who's serving him coffee. Like, there's no more, like, where's your morality? Where is your, you know, just have some humanity, man. Like, take it easy. This is more to life than just, you know, getting a giggle out of somebody or something. But you notice here, Maryam alayhi salam, her immediate reaction is, إِنِّي أَعُوذُ بِالرَّحْمَنِ مِنْكَ إِن كُنْتَ تَقِيَّ. Despite the fact, Jibreel alayhi salam probably looked gorgeous. She's like, I ask Allah's refuge from you, stay away from me. It's incredible. This haya is part of our iman. We have to not lose track of that. قَالَتْ He said, Jibreel alayhi salam obviously clarifies and says, إِنَّمَا أَنَا رَسُولُ رَبِّكَ I'm not here for anything. I am actually an angel, the messenger of your Lord. لِأَهَبَ لَكِ غُلَامًا زَكِيًّا And he drops on her the bombshell. Says, I'm going to give you the gift of a child. Now, a pure child. قَالَتْ أَنَّا يَكُونُ لِي غُلَامٌ وَلَمْ يَمْسَسْنِي بَشَرٌ وَلَمْ أَكُو بَغِيًّا Same question. Not questioning the power of Allah, but just shock. How can I have a son when nobody has ever touched me, no man has ever touched me, and meaning I'm not married, and walam aku baghiya, I'm not married, I've never been married, walam aku baghiya, and also I'm not unchaste, I'm not, you know, somebody who gets into those kind of relationships. Qala kadhaliki qala rabbuki huwa alayya hayyin. Exact same phrase. This is something that Allah has decreed, it is easy for him, your master has already said it. وَلِنَجْعَلَهُ آيَةً لِلنَّاسِ وَرَحْمَةً مِنَّا And we're going to make him a sign for all of humanity. Subhanallah. Isa alayhi salam is made a sign for all of people. His birth, his life was a sign for humanity. وَرَحْمَةً مِنَّا And he would be mercy from us. Just like Allah describes the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as وَمَا أَرْسَلْنَاكَ إِلَّا رَحْمَةً لِلْعَالَمِينَ Likewise, Isa alayhi salam is described as a rahmah, a mercy, subhanAllah. And his words, whatever remain of his words, if you read them, they're extremely merciful. Turn the other cheek. If someone hits you on one cheek, then you turn your other cheek to them. If someone takes your coat, then give them your shirt as well. Don't hold back your shirt. Allahu alam if he really said them or not. These are in the Bible. The point is that his words are very merciful. Very merciful. And this is something that we find Isa alayhi salam being described as in the Quran as well. وَكَانَ أَمْرًا مَقْضِيًّا And this was something that is already done. It's a done deal. You can't argue about this. Now, she conceives her Isa alayhi salam, and then she's about to give birth. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَجَاءَهَا الْمَخَاضُ إِلَىٰ جِذْعِ النَّخْلَىٰ So, the pains of birth brought her to the date palm tree, and she's clutching it, and she was saying, "I wish I didn't exist." Now, this statement of her doesn't mean "kuntu nasiyam mansiya," and I was not even remembered. That doesn't mean, of course, that she's being ungrateful to Allah, or she's saying, "Oh, what's the point of life? Why me?" None of that. These are pains of birth. Men don't know what that means. Any woman who goes through it is described as if, you know, they're about to die and then they come back to life. I remember actually even reading a hadith about this. I can't remember, so I'm not going to quote it. But even generally, ask any mother who's given birth, particularly the first one, which is really, really difficult. Right? I mean, it's like, you know, somebody's trying to kill you. Subhanallah. And then birth happens. So this is a statement that a person is in extreme pain, excruciating pain. That whatever they say is just, it's out of their control. It's out of their control. They don't have control over their tongue anymore because just the pain has consumed them. And it's something that we find even that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned, the Prophet mentioning that, رُفِعَ عَنِ الْأُمَّةِ عَنْ أُمَّةِ الْخَطَأْ وَالْنِسْيَانِ وَمَسْتُقْرِهُ عَلَيْهِ الْخَطَأْ, mistake, nisyan, things that people forget, and things that someone is forced to do. Khata is this kind of mistake when a person is in excruciating pain. They don't even know what they're saying anymore. Right? That's something that is not to be considered. So, of course, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala calms her down. And he says, فَنَادَهَا مِن تَحْتِهَا So, he called her from her below her. أَلَّا تَحْزَنِي Don't grieve. قَدْ جَعْلَ رَبُّكِ تَحْتَكِ سَرِيَّا Your Lord has provided beneath you a stream. وَهُزِّي إِلَيْكِ بِجِذْعِ النَّخْلَةِ تُسَاقِطْ عَلَيْكِ رُطَابًا جَنِيَّ And, in fact, you should shake the date palm tree, the trunk of the date palm tree. تُسَاقِطْ عَلَيْكِ رُطَابًا جَنِيَّ Fresh ripe dates will fall upon you. فَكُلِي وَاشْرَبِي وَقَرِّي عَيْنَا And eat and drink and be happy. فإما ترين من البشر أحدا فقولي إني نظرت للرحمن صوما فلن أكلم اليوم إنسيا. Then say I have, if you meet somebody, then say I have given the vow to not speak. Knows best, but there is a qira'a in the Quran that says fanadaha man tahtaha. There's a qira'a in the Quran. There's different ways of reading Quran, right? You can have somebody read it Maliki Yawmiddin. You have some people read it as Maliki Yawmiddin. Ihdina al-sirat al-mustaqim. Ihdina al-sirat al-mustaqim. You find different qira'at, and these are all from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He says that the Quran was revealed ala sabati ahruf. This is something that is established, and there's no doubt about it. One of those established qira'at is فَنَادَهَا مَن تَحْتَهَا. So the one who was below her called her. So this could now, if you were to take this qira'at and you were to look at it, then this makes sense that this is after the birth. Isa alayhi salam, who was born, because the child is born, he's below the mother, right, literally. And so he's telling her as soon as he's born that, don't worry, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make things easy for you. Your Lord, in fact, first will take care of your food and drink, because you're exhausted, you need food and drink. There's water and dates. You just shake the tree and dates will fall. Even if somebody big was to shake a date palm tree, it won't move even a centimeter. But she's told to go and shake the tree. She puts her work and Allah gives her fruit afterwards. So Allah takes care of her food and her drink. And then Isa alayhi salam, if we were to take this opinion, was born and, nadaha man tahtaha, tells her, it'll be fine. Don't speak to anybody. Just, فَقُولِ إِنِّي نَذَرْتُ لِلرَّحْمَنِ صَوْمًا. And Allahu alam, this is a nice way of looking at it. The other way is that the angel's telling her before she's given birth. And Allah knows best exactly what happened. But this way, you look at it, and if Isa is speaking to her mother, then that is great source of contentment for her, and she's confident everything will be fine. This is definitely a miracle, and then she goes to the people. She will be at a lot more ease. Now, also something really interesting. I was listening to a lecture on this, that huzzi ilayki bijidhi an-nakhla, shake the date palm trees, and the date palm tree gives its fruit in the spring. It gives fruit in the spring, late spring, early summer, sometime in that time of the year. I'm not a farmer, so I don't know exactly when. We have year-round fruit, alhamdulillah. We don't even know what seasons are. We have fruit year-round. So, what's interesting is Christmas is usually celebrated when? December 25th in the winter. If it was the winter, how come she's getting dates? Right? Interesting question. Right? What's the validity of 25th December being his birth date? We have some circumstantial evidence that actually points to the contrary. But again, these are inferences, and only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala really knows best when he was born, etc., etc. But there's something to, some food for thought. There's cool things to see. Now, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَأَتَتْ بِهِ قَوْمَهَا تَحْمِلُهُ. He comes, and she's carrying a baby. And what's going to be the first thing people will say to her? قَالُوا يَا مَرْيَمُ لَقَدْ جِئْتِ شَيْئًا فَرِيًّا. Maryam, what have you done? What have you done? You've done something that has, unprecedented. The translation is very good, mashallah. Unprecedented. فَرِيًّا. I mean, it's like nothing else before it. يَا أُخْتَ هَارُونَ. Oh, sister of Harun. مَا كَانَ أَبُوكِ مْرَأَ سَوْءٍ وَمَا كَانَتْ أُمُّكِ بَغِيًّا. Your father was not an evil man, nor was your mother a promiscuous lady. She was a chaste lady. They're saying, you're from a good family. We didn't expect somebody from a good family to do this. This is all psychological blows that they're landing. Right? These words are, when someone gets into, this is of course Maryam alayhi salam that didn't make no mistake or anything, but someone gets into something, some accident, something happened, they made a mistake, that first instance is the worst time to say anything to them. Someone gets into an accident, you know, are you okay? Why were you speeding? That's not the time to ask that question. Right? That's, you're landing more psychological blows. The person's already down and they're already sad. And then you're going to make them realize that why they're gonna, you're going to make them sadder by asking that question. So they're not really consoling her or whatnot. They're actually making her life difficult by saying these things. Now there's also some interesting things that is said about this ayah. Some of the Christian, some of the foolish Christian people say, oh look, the Quran, the Prophet ﷺ didn't know what he's talking about. He's saying Maryam is the sister of Harun. And, you know, where is he? He doesn't really know what's going on. And this is clearly an error. And that's why the Quran is false. And he would say to them, you're a fool, because you have no idea what you're talking about. Okay? The first thing is, maybe she had a brother whose name was Harun. Allahu alam. Because in this ayah, Allah meant that her family is mentioned. Your father, your mother, and maybe his brother was also somebody who was really noble, a good person. So they're mentioning her entire family to, you know, make her feel worse, in essence. Or a second meaning could be that she is from Bani Israel, and she is from the descendants of Harun alayhi salam. She's from the descendants of Harun alayhi salam. This is, we know from Safiya radiallahu anha, the wife of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. She was from the descendants of Harun alayhi salam. So the Prophet ﷺ would tell her that you are the daughter of a Nabi and you are the wife of a Nabi. Right? He would say that to her to make her happy. So subhanAllah, this could also be referring that they're telling her, you are from the lineage of Harun and you do this. And both meanings are valid, wallahu alam. Now we don't have a historical tree that connects Maryam alayhi salam to Harun, nor do we have and anything that's in the Bible when it comes to genealogy is all rubbish anyway. It's got so many errors in it, it's not even something, no test scholar of the New Testament ever considers it value, of any real value, because there's so many errors, and that number of generations are so few between, you know, Jesus Christ and Abraham, it's actually not possible. It's working under the assumption that the earth is 6,000 years old or something ridiculous. So I mean, all the genealogy gets thrown out in the trash from the New Testament. So anything that they would say, oh look, her genealogy doesn't go back to the Harun, we say your genealogy in the Bible is trash anyway. You're working on the assumption that 6,000 years. Clearly not. The earth has been long for a lot longer than 6,000 years. So any of these criticisms are unfounded. You don't know exactly where she's from. We don't know it either. There's a very good chance she is from the family of Harun. And if that's the case, then this ayah applies. And maybe she has a brother that's Harun as well. Most probably she's from the family of Harun. Because Zakariya alayhi salam is a prophet, and generally prophethood would be in a large extended family over generations. So there's a lot, you know, these criticisms of the Quran are sometimes, you know, just either they are, you know, just trying to stab in the dark, just trying to get something right, or they're downright foolish. And this is one of those foolish things. فَأَشَارَتْ إِلَيْهِ. Now she did something, what she was told to do, alayhi salam. She pointed to the baby, and they're like, how can we speak to this baby? He's a little baby. قَالَ إِنِّي عَبْدُ اللَّهِ. Now Isa alayhi salam responds, he says, I am the slave of Allah. آتَانِيَ الْكِتَابِ. He gave me the book. وَجَعْلَنِي نَبِيًّا. And he made me a prophet. وَجَعْلَنِي مُبَارَكًا أَيْنَمَا كُنْتَ. And he made me blessed wherever I may be. وَأَوْصَانِي بِالصَّلَاةِ وَالزَّكَاةِ. And he has told me to pray and give zakat. Interestingly enough, zakat to who? أَوْصَانِي بِالصَّلَاةِ وَالزَّكَاةِ. This is an interesting question. Why is he saying, I'm supposed to pray and give zakat? مَا دُمْتُ حَيَّ. As long as I'm alive, particularly this part, مَا دُمْتُ حَيَّ, as long as I'm alive. Some of the scholars explain that this actually means that when he comes back, alayhi salam, he would be establishing prayer and giving zakat. You know, he says, وَبَرَّمْ بِوَالِدَتِي وَلَمْ يَجْعَلْنِي جَبَّارٌ شَقِيًّا. Let me explain how that thing is deduced. He says, I am very good to my mother, and he didn't make me jabbaran shaqiyya, he did not make me a tyrant. tyrant. Same word, jabbar, that was used for Yahya, used for Isa here. That Allah SWT did not make me a jabbar. And also, As-salamu alayya yawma wulidtu wa yawma amutu wa yawma ubahathu hayya. Now, he said, notice what he said. He says, he made me blessed wherever I am, and he told me to pray and give zakat as long as I'm alive. And he told me to be dutiful to my mother. Do you notice how he separated the three things that he was told to do? Maybe I'll write it over here to make it clearer. Because this is an important thing to understand. One of the things we want to keep emphasizing again and again is the idea that Isa alayhi salam's resurrection is like built in the Quran at every turn. Him, not resurrection, meaning him coming back the second time. So, he says, أَوْصَانِي بِالصَّلَاةِ. He's told me to pray, وَالزَّكَاةِ, give zakat, as long as I'm alive. And then he says, and he's told me to be good to my mother. You see, there's three things told. Pray, zakat, and be good to your mother. That's what he was told. But he separates pray and zakat from being good to my mother. Because when he comes back, is his mother going to be alive? Definitely not. She's already dead, right? So, he's separating the two things he'll do after he comes back, pray and give zakat, from the thing that he's doing while he's not been raised yet. You see how the ayat separates the three things? It's to say, I'm supposed to be good to my mother as long as she's alive and I am here. But I'm told to pray and give zakat as long as I am alive. When I come back, she won't be alive. So this is something that's very interesting, and this is a different construction of the ayah. Not normal that Allah would mention it like this. This is an unusual sequence to show that His return is implied here. Now, ذَلِكَ عِيسَى بْنُ مَرْيَمَ. That is Isa, the son of Maryam. قَوْلَ الْحَقِّ الَّذِي فِيهِ يَمْتَرُونَ. This is the true statement in which they have doubts about. This is the one that they are disputing about. And Allah says very clearly, you know, there is no need for Allah to have a son. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has no need to have a son. Why would He have a son? We mentioned this refutation of Allah having a son in Surah An'am. Allah says, أَنَّا يَكُونُ لَهُ وَلَدْ وَلَمْ يَكُنْ لَهُ صَاحِبًا. How can he have a son when he does not have a spouse? How is that possible? And this is our counter to people who say that Isa is the son of God. What do you mean he's the son of God? Does it mean that he's come and had, وَلِعَاذُ بِاللَّهِ, relations with Maryam? وَلِعَاذُ بِاللَّهِ. This is a filthy statement. I feel filthy even mentioning this statement. Right? So clearly he's not a son then. Or do you mean that, you know, okay, assume he's a son. Okay, what race was he? That means God is a certain race then? Right? Okay, assume he's white, even though he's not. Is that means God is white? That means everybody who's white is better than anybody who's not white? There's so many bad implications of this statement. A son is of the same race as you are. Right? Nobody's son is a different race than they are. So if you're saying he's the son of God, that means that God is the same race as him. That means his race is God's race. That means they are superior than everybody else. Because they are people of God. That's a very racist, you know, creed. This is a creed that's built upon racism. It says, مَا كَانَ لِلَّهِ يَتَّخِذَ وَلَدًا. This is impossible for Allah to have a son. For so many reasons. One of his is this implication. إِذَا قَضَى أَمْرًا. In fact, Subhanahu, he's above this. إِذَا قَضَى أَمْرًا. When he decides to do something, فَإِنَّمَا يَقُولُ لَهُ كُنْ فَيَكُونَ. He only says, be and it is. Be and it is. That is who he is. That's his power and majesty. People who have sons, they don't have anywhere near the same amount of power. No human being has this kind of power. So he's trying to separate himself from human beings. وَإِنَّ اللَّهَ رَبِّي وَرَبُّكُمْ فَاعْبُدُوهُ هَذَا صِرَاطٌ مُسْتَقِيمٌ Isa alayhi salam said that Allah is my master and your master, you should worship him. This is the straight path. Now, the people disagreed about Isa alayhi salam, and he says, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says this, that when they are disagreeing, you should tell them of the Day of Judgment. That is the day when this thing will be resolved, and also on the coming of Isa alayhi salam. He says, "Inna nahnu narithu al-ardha wa man 'alayha wa ilayna yurja'un." On the Day of Judgment, or just before the Day of Judgment, we are the ones who inherit the earth totally, and who is on it. Wa ilayna yurja'un, and to us they will be returned to in eventuality. Then he mentions in the story, so now two families are mentioned, Zakariya and Yahya, model family, people of faith, model family, great father, great son. Then you have another great family, Maryam and Isa. But that family has a little wrinkle. It's a single mother. How is she dealing with her child? You know, in the Bible it says, I was listening to a lecture on this, that Isa alayhi salam addressed his mother, with rough words. Like, hey woman, like that kind of thing, right? Just in a condescending manner. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us how he spoke to his mother. وَبَرَّمْ بِوَالِدَتِي Extremely good to his mother, kind to his mother. وَلَمْ يَجْعَلْنِي جَبَّارًا شَقِيًّا Didn't make me a wretched tyrant. Because for Isa alayhi salam, it's so easy to be a tyrant. His mother, there's no father, he's the man of the house. He's a prophet of Allah. He's got miracles left, right, and center. Right? It's easy for him to oppress his mother and impose his will upon his mother. Right? But Allah says he wasn't like that. He didn't do that. So, this is another great thing for single mothers. How to, with their kids, that the kids have to be raised with responsibility, but at the same time, not to the point where they become tyrannical and oppressive towards the mothers. Now, also he mentions in the book, وَذْكُرْ فِي الْكِتَابِ إِبْرَاهِيمِ إِنَّهُ كَانَ صَدِّيقًا نَبِيًّا There's no doubt he was a man of truth and a prophet. Now, Ibrahim alayhi salam is mentioned, and this is the passage in Quran where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes his conversation with his father at length. Remember, we're studying stories in Quran, and there's something new we always learn. Here we're learning something about Ibrahim alayhi salam, that he had a conversation with his father. Before, we had heard his conversation with his people. We had heard his conversation with his son. But now we're hearing the conversation he had with his father. And other parts of Quran, he has similar conversation, but not at this detail. Not with this detail, not in this long. And that's why in this ayat, you will listen and you will see, as I'm reading, you will see. إِذْ قَالَ لِأَبِيهِ يَا أَبَتِي When he said to his father, يَا أَبَتِي My father, لِمَ تَعْبُدُ مَا لَا يَسْمَعُ وَلَا يُبْصِرُ وَلَا يُغْنِي عَنْكَ شَيْئًا Why is it that you worship that does not listen and does not see and can't do anything for you? Notice one word that repeats in this entire passage. Okay, as I'm reading it, let's see if you can figure it out. يَا أَبَتِي إِنِّي قَدْ جَاءَنِي مِنَ الْعِلْمِ مَا لَمْ يَأْتِكَ فَاتَّبِعْنِي أَهْدِكَ صِرَاطًا سَوِيًّا My father, I love you so much. I have some knowledge that you don't have. So follow me. I'm going to guide you to the straight path. Ya abati la ta'budu shaytan. My father, I love you so much. Don't worship shaytan. Don't lower yourself to shaytan. Inna shaytana kana lirrahmani asiyya. Shaytan has always been disobedient to the most merciful. Ya abati, my father, I love you so much. Inni akhafu an yamassaka 'adhabun min ar-rahman. I am afraid that the punishment of the most merciful will touch you. فَتَكُونَ لِلشَّيْطَانِ وَلِيَّ So you will be right next to shaytan. Remember, wali is somebody who is close. You will be right with, you will be with shaytan. What's the word that repeats in this passage? Ya abati. Four times you said ya abati. Four times. Ya abati is a, ya abi means my father. Ya abati means, my father, I love you so much. It's an expression. We don't have an equivalent expression in English for that. It's incredible. He's speaking to his father, who is a mushrik and a kafir. And Ibrahim alayhi salam is a believer. He's speaking to his father, who is the manufacturer of the idols that people worship. He runs Shirk Incorporated. And Ibrahim alayhi salam is the Prophet of Allah, who is Hanifan Muslima, who runs Tawheed Incorporated. Right? He's the one who is The CEO, if you were to like put it in that terms, he is the one who represents Tawheed in the Quran as a person. Ibrahim al-Islam's father is obnoxious and rude. How so? He says, لَإِن لَمْ تَنْتَهِ لَأَرْجُمَنَّكَ. If you don't stop, I will kill you. I will stone you to death. A father saying this to a son. Can you imagine what kind of an obnoxious father this must be? And Ibrahim al-Islam is this noble son of virtue. He says, قَالَ سَلَامٌ عَلَيْكَ. He said, I ask Allah to give you سَلَامٌ عَلَيْكَ. May you have peace. فَأَسْتَغْفِرُ لَكَ رَبِّي. I will ask Allah to forgive you again and again and again. It's so incredible. They are polar opposites in everything. They're polar opposites. If there was any time a son could be rude to a father, this would be the time. But even in this situation, our father Ibrahim al-Islam is teaching us how to be the role model son. How to be a role model child. How? Show love, genuine love. Ya abati, 4 times. Show genuine respect, even if there's disagreement. No one's father will be worse than Ibrahim al-Islam's father. I don't care what anybody's father has ever done to them. Can't get any worse than this. But he's showing the utmost respect. And this is the thing we learn from Ibrahim al-Islam. There's many things that we can extract from this passage. But one of this is the adab of Ibrahim with his father. It's incredible, subhanAllah. And he says also that he's in a difficult situation. He's right and the father is wrong. And that's a very difficult situation to be in, where the child is right and the parent is wrong. How do you navigate that tricky situation, that thorny situation? Ibrahim al-Islam teaches us how to do that. This is one of the most difficult things to do, to convince somebody that they're wrong and you're right. Particularly if that person who you're convincing is wrong is higher above you, in a hierarchy. One of the hardest things to do in life. He's teaching us how to do that, subhanAllah. Now this is an example of a family in Quran where it's not all roses. It's not all happy. Like Yahya and Zakariya. This is where the father is an evil person and the son is a great person. Father is not practicing Islam. The son wants to practice Islam. The mother doesn't care about Islam. The daughter is really serious about Islam. It's a very difficult family dynamics. The daughter wants to wear hijab and she is, you know, criticized by her own parents. And they threaten her and say to her, who will marry you and you look like that? Or the boy wants to grow a beard, doesn't want to indulge in haram things, and the parents say, what career will you have? Who will take you in in their household when you look like that, when you act like that? These are very hurtful things, but these are real things. That's why they're mentioned in Surah Maryam, the surah that talks about families. And what the children are told here is, doesn't matter how right you are, and doesn't matter how wrong the parents are, never an excuse to be disrespectful. Never, ever is there an excuse to be disrespectful towards the parents, to raise our voices over our parents. May Allah forgive us for all that we have done wrong to our parents. Now, Ibrahim al-Islam is mentioned as a father here and as a son in Surah Safat. Inshallah, when we get there, we'll discuss his role model behavior as a father. Ibrahim al-Islam is so incredible. Like, it's unbelievable that one person could be that incredible, subhanAllah. That's why he's called the father of the Prophet. That's why Allah says he's kana ummah. He was a nation by himself. It's like he's equal to 1 million people. That's how incredible he was. He's the gold standard when it comes to iman and taqwa. He's the gold standard when it comes to how to be a son. He's the gold standard when it comes to how to be a father in the Quran. And that's why the Prophet ﷺ was called the one who resembled Ibrahim alayhi salam the most. In his akhlaq, in his appearance, in his mannerisms, in his taqwa, he resembled him the most. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Now, then you have the story of وَهَبْنَا لَهُمْ مِنْ رَحْمَتِنَا وَجَعَلْنَا لَهُمْ وَبَحَبْنَا لَهُمْ مِنْ رَحْمَتِنَا وَجَعَلْنَا لَهُمْ لِسَانَ صِدْقٍ عَلِيَّ. The sons of Ibrahim, Yaqub, Ishaq and Yaqub, they're mentioned. Who's missing? Ishaq and Yaqub, there's someone missing. Ismail, right? Okay, he's coming up. وَذْكُرْ فِي الْكِتَابِ مُوسَى. Musa is mentioned, alayhi salam, innahu kana mukhlasan, he was chosen, he was sincere, he was dedicated for Allah, wa kana rasulan nabiyya, and he was a messenger and a prophet. Wa nadaynahu min janib al-tur al-ayman wa qarrabnahu najiyya, and we called him from the side of the mountain of Tur, and we brought him close. And wa wahabna lahu min rahmatina akhahu haruna nabiyya. Another family is mentioned here. These are brothers in faith. Musa and Harun. They're brothers in faith. How two brothers who are both worshipping Allah, trying to do something for the cause of the faith, how they can work together. And despite the fact that Harun was older, you know, the New Testament mentions some really bad things about Harun alayhi salam, and we'll comment on that as we go. If you've had the unfortunate experience of seeing the movie The Ten Commandments, you will know a lot of what they say about Harun alayhi salam. He was jealous of Musa, and that's what it's implied. He was jealous of Musa, but in the Quran we don't find that. He's older, yet he accepts his role. He realizes the younger brother has more virtue. He's Kalimullah. And he realizes that my honor is because of him. We find that in the Quran, how Harun al-Islam is very humble. And Musa al-Islam is always saying, my brother, give me my brother. Wa afsahu minni lisanan. He is more eloquent than me. He speaks better than I speak. This is the ideal brother-sibling relationship. The elder brother realizes the younger one's better than him. The younger one's like, no, he's better than me in the way he speaks. This is a beautiful sibling relationship that you find in the Quran. Musa and Harun, alayhi salam. Then he says, وَذْكُرْ فِي الْكِتَابِ إِسْمَاعِيلِ إِنَّهُ كَانَ صَادِقَ الْوَعَدِ وَكَانَ رَسُولَ النَّبِيَّ. And of course, you cannot forget about Ismail alayhi salam. He was صَادِقَ الْوَعَدِ. He is the one who was true to the promise. The promise he made to his father. You want to slaughter me? I am ready. That promise is an incredible promise to make. And he was true to his promise. He wasn't just saying that. وَكَانَ يَأْمُرُ أَهْلَهُ بِالصَّلَاةِ وَالزَّكَاةِ. And he used to tell his family to pray and give zakat. وَكَانَ عِنْدَ رَبِّهِ مَرْضِيَّ. And he was, in the eyes of his Lord, مَرْضِيَّ, someone who was Allah, that Allah was pleased with. Now, what's interesting is he is described as somebody who is كَانَ يَأْمُرُ أَهْلَهُ بِالصَّلَاةِ وَالزَّكَاةِ كَانَ صَادِقَ الْوَعْدِ. Now, I don't know this. I haven't studied this, and maybe something that I will look up later or somebody else will look up. But what I wonder what the New Testament or the Old Testament, the Bible says about Ismail al-Assam. Maybe they claim that he was somebody who lied. Maybe he claimed that he's somebody who wasn't, you know, good in character. Allahu A'lam. Right? So when Allah mentions a few things about prophets, generally there is, you know, mention of things that we should aspire to be, or there are mention of things that are great about that prophet, but at times they are refutation of what the Ahl al-Kitab have said about them. We see that particularly with Harun, in the story of Musa and Harun in Surah Taha. Inshallah we'll skip to that in a little bit. That Allah actually refutes a lot of things that are mentioned in the Bible about Harun alayhi salam. The accusations that were levied at Harun, that he indulged in shirk as well, and he was worshipping the calf as well. Waliyadhu billah. Right? So those things are, these are subtleties of Quranic discourse that are enhanced when we have context, historical context. Right? The Prophet said, حَدِّثُوا عَنْ بَنِي إِسْرَائِيلِ وَلَا حَرَجْ. It's okay to narrate from them. There's no problem. Of course, if it's something that is ridiculous, then we reject it. If it's something that is conformity with the Quran, we accept it. And if it's not in conformity, nor it is something that is disagreeing with the book, then we stay silent. Allah knows best whether it's true or not. But he mentioned that this is something that is historical evidence that's provided. Now, مَذْكُرْ فِي الْكِتَابِ Idris, mentioned in the book Idris, he was also a prophet. إِنَّهُ كَانَ صَدِّيقًا نَبِيًّا. He was truly a man of truth and a prophet. وَرَفَعْنَاهُ مَكَانًا عَلِيًّا. And we raised him to a very high place. All these prophets, all these great families are mentioned here. Why? أُولَٰئِكَ الَّذِينَ أَنْعَمَ اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِمْ. They are the ones that Allah has favored upon. مِنَ النَّبِيِّينَ, from the prophets. مِنْ ذُرِّيَّةِ آدَمَ, and from the progeny of Adam alayhi salam. وَمِمَّنْ حَمَلْنَا مَعَ نُوحٍ. And those who we carried with the people of, carried with Nuh alayhi salam. وَمِنْ ذُرِّيَّةِ إِبْرَاهِيمَ وَإِسْرَائِيلَ. And from the progeny of Ibrahim alayhi salam. And the progeny of Israel alayhi salam. Who's Israel alayhi salam? Yaqub alayhi salam, right? Even if his name is used by somebody or by a nation that we don't like, he is still a great prophet of Allah. He is a Israel in Hebrew, actually means slave of Allah. Eel is like we have Abdullah, right? The eel part there means that he is a slave of Allah. Like Jibra'il, Mika'il, Israfil, they're all, you know, that eel part denotes that they are, you know, slaves of Allah, like Abdurrahman, Abdullah, you know, Abdul Qadir, whatever. Now we have these similar names in Arabic, that's the Hebrew equivalent of it. وَمِمَّنْ هَدَيْنَا وَاجْتَبَيْنَا. And from those who we have guided, وَاجْتَبَيْنَا, and those who we chose. That's why they're told. Their stories are told. That's why they're made role models. Because Allah blessed them. Allah guided them. Allah SWT chose them. So when we need some guidance, some real role models, we look at these prophets. And we look at how they acted. When we need role models, we look at the Sahaba. Because they were the ones who acted upon the guidance of the prophets. Umar radiallahu anhu was described to be like Musa alayhi salam. And Abu Bakr was described to be like Isa alayhi salam. Okay, Zakla khair. You can, it's here, somebody loses it, it's right here, inshallah. So, and Abu Bakr was described like Isa alayhi salam. So there's a reason why. It's not like they're in the same level, of course not. But they resemble them in character, in, you know, personality traits. And that's why these people are mentioned. And so the Sahaba, the prophets of Allah and the Sahaba are role models for us because Allah chose them and guided them. إِذَا تُتْلَى عَلَيْهِمْ آيَةُ الرَّحْمَنِ خَرُّوا سُجَّدًا وَبُكِيًّا. What happened, what a characteristic that defined every believing person throughout history. Doesn't matter what ethnicity, what language they spoke, what language the message was in. Whenever they heard the great miracle, miraculous signs of the Most Merciful, they would fall in sajda crying. This emotion of being overwhelmed by tears. Tears of joy. Tears of recognizing the truth. That was a universal thing. It's something that is in all people of faith. All people of God have had this characteristic. SubhanAllah, really, really beautiful. But then Allah says, فَخَلَفَ مِن بَعْدِهِمْ خَلْفٌ أَضَاعُوا الصَّلَاةِ وَاتَّبَعُوا الشَّهَوَاتِ فَسَوْفَ يَلْقَوْنَ غَيَّ. We ask Allah to make us of those who cry when we hear the ayat and fall in sajda with tears of joy and happiness. And we ask Allah's protection to not make us of those that are mentioned in the next ayah. The ones who are mentioned in the next ayah are very, the ones who came after. فَخَلَفَ مِن بَعْدِهِمْ خَلْفٌ. Khalf is different than khalaf. Khalaf, like salaf, is basically anybody who comes afterwards. Like my kids are my khalaf, and their kids are also khalaf. Right? That's just the next people. But khalf is people who come afterwards, but they're unworthy. They're not worthy of having of carrying the honor or bearing the qualities of their predecessors. Khalf. Very beautiful subtlety in the Quran here. Khalf are people who are unworthy of being successors. So Allah says, after these great prophets came khalfun adaa'u as-salaah wattaba'u ash-shahawaat wasafasawfa yalqawna ghayya. What do these people do? They أَضَاعُوا الصَّلَاةِ. They wasted the salah. They wasted the salah. Not that Allah said they left the salah. They wasted salah. Maybe they were praying, but the prayer was just, you know, up and down and sit and look right and look left. Allahu Akbar. Maybe they totally wasted the prayer in this meaning that it was something that was done with no... It was done when it was convenient, or when it was needed only. Coming to Jumu'ah only when school is off or work is off, but not coming to Jumu'ah on other days, for example. These are all things that are part of Allah's Salah. SubhanAllah. So Allah says, these are people, the first thing that they did that caused them to be unworthy successors was they lost the Salah. وَاتَّبَعُوا الشَّهَوَاتِ And that leads them to follow their desires. تَبَعُوا الشَّهَوَاتِ فَسَوْفَ يَلْقَوْنَ غَيَّ And then because of this, they will يَلْقَوْا They will meet evil, meaning they will lose their way. They can't expect good things to happen if they have lost Salah and are not and are following their desires. What's interesting is the stories in Quran are mentioned for us to like reflect upon ourselves. Just like great prophets came, after them came people who didn't really carry that same banner. There was a downfall after that great height. Likewise with the Prophet ﷺ. There's an implication for this ummah, you will have a great, you know, peak. And then there will be people who come afterwards who would let that down. Allahu Salah. That's what happened the last couple of generations, right? That it was, masajids are empty. But alhamdulillah, now it's changing. Alhamdulillah, now there's a upward tick. Alhamdulillah. Things are going in the right direction for the most part. But for a large part of the last few decades, it was Allahu Salah. Salah was lost. I remember I was a kid growing up in Pakistan, right? And masajids were empty. There's nobody there for Salah. Everybody around who lives, like the hundreds, thousands of people, not hundreds of thousands, in that neighborhood, thousands of people that live in that neighborhood, there's like not even one row for Dhuhr on a weekend. This is 20 odd years ago, but I remember this. But now it's different, alhamdulillah. Things are coming around, people are a bit more connected to masajid, there's a change that's happening, Quran has been taken seriously. But the idea that the downward spiral comes when Allah salah. And we've seen that historically happen to other nations, and we see that happen to our own nation as well. إِلَّا مَن تَابَ وَآمَنَ وَعَمِلَ صَالِحًا Of course, the gates are not closed until the person dies. As long as the person can repent. وَآمَنَ And they believe. وَعَمِلَ صَالِحًا And they do good deeds. Or عَمِلَ صَالِحًا Do one good deed. Not صَالِحَات, by the way. Generally it is عَمِلُ الصَّالِحَات in plural. Here it's عَمِلَ صَالِحًا Just one good deed. That's all you need to turn life around. عَمِلَ صَالِحًا فَأُولَٰئِكَ يَدْخُلُونَ الْجَنَّةِ And those are the people that will enter Al-Jannah. وَلَا يُظْلَمُونَ شَيْئًا Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Yes, of course, please, tafaddal. Yes. Yes. Let me just close this.
In terms of
Iman, yes.